1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Would you go there today? I've entitled this morning, The Bible Stands. We have a Bible today that is accurate, we know is infallible, we know is preserved, and God has worked, blessed us so richly to give us the Word of God today. 1 Thessalonians 2, notice verse number 12, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Wonderful section here of Scripture. Paul reminding the church of the precious and power of the word of God. And he uses, if you will, kind of a play on words. He says, you received it as the word of God, not as the word of men. There's always two contrasts coming at a head in life. The word of God and the word of men. And which one are you going to take? Is it the word of man or the word of God? Those that trust the word of men are fretful, fearful. They're worrisome. They stay up at night worrying and distressed and stressed out and burdened. Those that take the word of God are faithful and have the peace of God that passeth understanding. Have the love of God. Have all those things. And again, we must work at that. The Bible stands. Now again, this message this morning, just wanted to emphasize how the Bible is truly the Word of God and is all that we need. A quote that I think is so applicable here is this: the Bible is either absolute or it's obsolete. It's either absolute or obsolete. You've got to take it. Is it the Bible for you or not? If you don't believe it, if there's portions of it that you don't believe, if there's some of it that you say, I don't really understand, so therefore I don't believe it, then it's obsolete. It must be all true or none of it true. It must be all preserved, infallible, without error, and inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's either absolute or obsolete. Now for our church and for you here today, I know this personally, in each one of your lives, you believe the Bible is absolute. It is your final authority. It is what guides you, directs you. If you have answers and or questions to life, you find the answer not in Dr. Phil, you come to the Bible, right? You don't go to the world. You don't go to Oprah. You don't go to whatever the case is for this old wicked world. We come to the Bible because the Bible stands. Now, we look at this. We know the preservation. We know the divine work of God. We know that. We understand it. We know there's an attack upon the Bible. It's in an all-time high today in our country. More popular secular songs are devoted to blatantly attacking the Word of God and its teachings than any other topic. Isn't that interesting? More of the songs today are an attack upon, now not directly the Word of God, I hate the Bible, but you know what they're doing. They're attacking the values, the convictions, the commandments of the Bible, aren't they? More of it. We see this anti-God propaganda, anti-God propagating by the music industry, and it's wreaking havoc upon our families and our homes and especially our young people, this music. And again, I said it before, but there's two areas that you do not touch in the human being's life. That's their music and that's their money, right? You touch any of that, you're going to have a fight. You're going to have a problem. And speaking primarily, you know, ungodly, unsaved people. But this is what's going on in our country. This is what's happening. And it comes back directly to an attack upon the Bible, the Word of God, doesn't it? The Word of God. Listen to some of these things that I found. Interesting. There's a, and I've said some of this before, but there's a network. It used to be ABC Family Channel. It's now renamed Freeform Channel. And it's geared, it says here, to reach 13 to 21-year-old age group, which is a lie. They're trying to reach your 7, 8-year-old kids. And on this channel, listen to some of the shows. This was maybe two years ago or so. Some of the shows in their primetime lineup. Listen to these. Pretty Little Liars. Young and Hungry. Hungry for what? I think we know. Twisted. The Secret Life of an American Teenager. Secret. Don't tell mom and dad. Listen to this show. Baby's Daddy. Baby's Daddy. the description for this show, Baby's Daddy. Listen to this. A year after hooking up with a girl, Ben Wheeler finds out he's a dad. The baby is dropped off at his doorstep, and Ben must now seek help from his brother Danny, his mom Bonnie, his best friend Tucker, and his childhood friend Riley. Baby Emma helps Ben become a mature young man and father. Meanwhile, feelings are being developed, and some have long been there, and a love triangle is created. Who ends up with who? That's geared towards 13-year-olds, 12, 8, 9, 10. That is what is being pushed. Now, what is it? A direct attack upon the Word of God, isn't it? And we try and tell our kids, now, no, don't do this, don't do that, follow the Word of God. And they look at us and go, why would I do that? Man would not have written the Bible if he could have. Isn't that true? He couldn't have. Why? Because it speaks directly to the heart. And I thought about this. Even Paul makes mention of that, right? Peter, if you were to write a book about yourself, and again, you read biographies and autobiographies, right, of people. They don't write all the bad things they've done. They write all the good things they've done. I did this when I was 14, and I was sinful, and I watched these things. I shouldn't. They don't write that. What do they write? Oh, I graduated from this, and I have these degrees on my wall. You could be 30. You could have 32 degrees and still be frozen, I mean, right? On your wall, and you, all these things, and oh, this man could not have written it, right? The Bible talks of man's failures, talks of man's sins. Peter, Paul, the great saints of the past. The greatest probably missionary to ever walk the face of the earth, and the Apostle Paul. And what did he write up? Woe is me. I'm sinful. He goes through a list of things as we read in Philippians, right? Our theme for the year. All the things that were accolades and all the things that I thought were gain to me, I count them but, and he uses such a vile word, but for emphasis, and I'm glad he did. Dung, right? Refuse. Thinking about some of these. Now, listen to this. You all have heard of Marilyn Manson. If you haven't, don't look him up, okay? But he was he's not popular anymore. In fact, his life recently has been in demise. He's had a lot of accusations hurled against him, which is rightfully so. The man is a creep. But he has a new album out. Now, this was, I think it said maybe 2 years ago or so, a new album. It's called Say 10. S-A-Y 10. Satan, Say 10. Pardon my French, the guy's an idiot, you know. In his new music video, he's shown tearing out pages of the Bible and eating the pages. It's a video of blood, debauchery, and it purposely attacks the Bible. Now, this man is a fool, and he is about to find out very soon who's in control, isn't he? And again, I pray for his salvation. I know you do too. I pray he truly gets saved. And what you think about these individuals attacking the Bible, because we understand and know this. When he's dead and gone and he's buried in the ground and the maggots and flies have eaten his old rotting carcass, the Bible will still be here. And it will still be able to meet. And we will still be preaching the Bible. And Lord willing, our next generation, some of these young men and our young girls, will still be preaching, teaching, and using the Bible. I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? Now, nothing new to us. They think, these worldly people think that it's going to shock us Christians, right? Tearing out pages, eating them, just blood. Doesn't it shock us? We've seen it from the beginning. We were warned of this 2,000 years ago, of what would be happening, what would come. Now, again, nothing new to us. The Bible stands. We don't sit up at night worried and fearful. Oh, God, I pray the Bible just stays preserved and stays inspired. We can still use it next Sunday. No, we don't. Why? Because we know the Bible. We know the promises. Now, let me just share a few things with you here. Now, the Bible stands in spite of its critics. In spite of its critics. Throughout time and history, there's been no short supply of critics of the Bible. Satan uses this tactic. He used it throughout human history, still does today, criticizing the Bible. And in the very beginning scene of life, human history, he makes the statement, "Yea, hath God said." Has he said that? Yeah, he said it, but what does he mean by it? Now, you know these things. Eve knows the Word of God, and we've been through this before, but just for emphasis, she knows the Word of God, quotes the Word of God, if you remember, but she leaves a portion of it out. She twists it. That's what Paul is saying here to the Thessalonians. He says, you didn't take the Word of man, you took the Word of God. And when you took the Word of God, you took it for what it was, the Word of God. The very words, plural, of Almighty God we have today. Satan tried to get her to see that God, in His Word, has restricted her life. Has restricted your life. That's what the world says about the Bible today. He's restricting you. He's keeping back good things from you. He's not letting you live your life. He's putting authority over you. You ought to have freedom. Isn't that the culture today? The term that's being thrown around today is woke, being woke, a woke culture. Meaning what? You've been oppressed. Even if you've never been oppressed, you need to trust us. You've been oppressed. Your grandfathers were oppressed. Therefore, you are oppressed. The color of your skin automatically makes you what? People attacking you and oppressed. It's just this mentality today that's very ridiculous. We come back to the Bible, brings such clarity to our minds, and you can tell when somebody spends time in Scripture. They have a clarity, they have a practicality, they have discernment in their lives, don't they? Now, you know this, and I won't go through all of it, but in this scene in the garden, there's the doubting of God's Word, the denying of God's Word, and then the deifying of man. Knowing God's Word is not enough, he says. You know, critics know the Bible, but you must take a critical step and believe and apply the Bible. There's Muslims today that know more of the Bible than we do. There's Jehovah Witnesses that know more of the Bible than we do. And on we could go. We must apply and believe the truth of the Bible. Denies the Word. To deny the Word, we're saying we know more than God. God doth know. Notice that. That's what Satan says. For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof. God's intentions are deceitful for you. He wants you to believe so He can deceive you. He wants you to follow the Bible so that you will ultimately ruin your life. It's deceitful. He'll pull the rug out from under you. He's dangling the carrot in front of you and your life, and you're wasting your time. Deniers seek higher truth. Deniers always seek higher truth. Notice what Satan said. Your eyes shall be opened. Isn't that evolution? Your eyes should be open. You go to higher education. You spend $300,000. 10 years of school, higher education, whatever. And what? Your eyes are open. In fact, you're dumber and dumber and dumber. Didn't you know that was in the Bible? They go, no. No. And you think about that. That's what they do. It doubts and denies. And then notice deifies man. The rock group Korn, K-O-R-N, Korn, you may have heard them before. Again, do not look them up if you don't know who they are. But they made a statement and they said, we push indulgence rather than abstinence. They're sick perverts. But you think about this, exactly what they're saying, deifying man. Man's greatest desire is to be his own God, lowercase G-O-D, his own God. That's the definition of humanism. And being pushed in our public schools today, in our higher education systems today, in our political arenas today, to be my own God. She states the Word of God. Eve left part of the Word of God out. Critics claim the Bible restricts and limits the human mind. There's higher truth, there's better truth. You see all of this going on today. I won't belabor more of that because we've been through it already before. Notice number two, though, the Bible stands in strength with the minority. We've seen this before, in strength with the minority. Now, let's come back to our text for just a minute here. But again, in Thessalonica, this was a church that was a small church. This was not a mega church. This was not a massive church. This was not 1,500 people. This was a small congregation. And again, I said before, but I'm so glad that Paul never mentions numbers with these churches because it's encouraging to us. Numbers. Really, the only time mentioned numbers in the Bible is, you know, in the book of Acts. It's about 3,000 were saved and added to the church and on and on. But the numbers with these local independent churches. And that's not an excuse, by the way, either, for not reaching others. But you think about this small church, and the Bible stands, and the Word and the truth stand with the minority. We know this. 1 Kings chapter 18, we know Elijah was the only one that stood with God on the Mount Carmel there, right? All these prophets, over 800 prophets, right? And he stood. Who's with me? Elijah was alone. And when all of it was done, all the people in one accord said what? The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. He's the God. He's the right one. Only Elijah stood. You think about Noah. Noah and his family. Noah preached for over 100 years. And you know who followed him? Only his sons, his wife, their wives. Right? That's not very good. Right? That's not very good statistics. That's not very good numbers to share at the missions conference and to share at the youth rally and other things that you go to, Bible conference. That's not good numbers. But notice, the minority and the majority were wrong. And in that case, they were dead wrong. They were dead wrong. They all died. You think about David. I just read through 1 and 2 Samuel. And there was a point when Absalom was attacking David and going after David that one of David's men that was with Absalom, who was a traitor, Absalom said, what should we do? Oh, go up at once and take David and his men. And one of the guys said, oh, hang on a second. You guys are a little bit jumping the gun here. You forget who David and his men are. You forget who David and Joab, Abishai and others are. These are men of war. Okay, basically what he's saying is they're going to kick your hiney if you go up there. But again, the minority, there was just a few men with David and a large army with Absalom. But the truth prevailed. Again, talking about the minority today, I just want to encourage you with this. When you're at your workplace and when you're on the job site and when you're at some store or something and you're living right and your kids are well behaved and you have all these things in order, and maybe not so well behaved, but you have those things in order and you're working to strive to follow the Bible and keep its precepts and principles and you're the minority. Listen, don't be discouraged. Rejoice. That's how it's always been. And Jesus said that, you know that, the end is coming. Moses asked this in Exodus 32:26, who's on the Lord's side? And you know the story, there's only a few people that came over. The priests came over and some other people. There was a large portion that did not follow. We've always been the minority. That's one of the testimonies to the preservation of God's Word, isn't it? How can a minority keep and the minority preserve, and we don't do the preserving, but follow through in the Word of God and keep the Word of God. How is it? If we were the minority, then we could not follow through. We could not keep this, if you will, throughout human history. It's always been the opposite. And you know this quote very well, I'm sure, but the victor always writes history. You go to a battle in a war, the losing people do not write history on the battle. Oh, we had a great battle. No, it's the victor. We came in and conquered them. We came in and wiped them off the earth. Again, coming back to the Roman Catholic Church, that's what they've done. And they've written all these books and all these things throughout human history. And they never mention one time the small minority of Bible-believing people. Why? Because they were the victors. And they took those poor people out and tortured them and threw their little babies off the side of a cliff and chucked their little three-year-olds in icy water and told them, deny Christ or we'll do it to your next one. That's the minority, and that's what they did. Now again, how could just a few fishermen turn the world upside down? How could a single man spread the gospel across several continents in the life of the Apostle Paul? Why? The minority. The Bible, the truth stands. Let me wrap it up here, number three. The Bible stands with the believer. The believer. If preservation was left up to us, we could not have the Bible today. Now again, we've propagated the truth. We've shared the gospel and all of that. But it's up to the Holy Spirit. The preaching is commanded. The propagation is commissioned to us. The promises are given to us. If we as believers don't believe the Bible stands today, nothing will get done in the work of the Lord. We must have a final authority. I feel sorry for these churches and these pastors around that do not believe in the preservation, inspiration of the Bible because they're dealing with, if you will, sand, trying to hold sand, trying to keep it. It's just falling through their fingers. They have nothing to stand on. They have nothing to push to the people and say, thus saith the Lord. And that's what the prophet said. They said, what did you say? And the prophet came in the Old Testament and said, I didn't say it, the Lord said it, God said it. And because of that, they persecuted the minority. They persecuted the man of God. Now again, we're commissioned, we're commanded, but we're also given the promises of God. The Bible stands. Would you go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll finish here this morning. In 2 Peter 1, again, talking about the Word of God. 2 Peter 1, verse 20. 2 Peter 1. In fact, let's read verse 17. 2 Peter 1, 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And he goes on in that and says, hear ye him. Verse 18, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy than that which we heard there, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Notice verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, meaning it's a public thing, it should be. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Moved by the Holy Ghost. The revelation of God's word to man is put squarely on the shoulders of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and we know that. The Holy Spirit gave us the word of God. Holy men of God copied it, translated it as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And we know today they translated it into the English language, and we have that today for us. But this is what he's saying. The Bible stands. Peter says we heard the Almighty God thunder down, as you recall that scene there on the mount. And they all fell down in fear and scared and worried and all kinds of things, and they fell down. And he said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. Hear him. And then Peter says, but we have a more sure word. A more sure word. That's hard to say. A more sure word than that that we heard. Where? In the Scriptures right here. In the Scripture. Notice, of the Scripture. Scriptures. You and I today have the Word of God. Now we'll cover, Lord willing, more of this next week as we look at the Bible is true, it's legitimate. I know you know this, but let me just warmly remind you. You have a Bible and you can believe every word of it. You can take it and apply it. Now there's some things in the Bible we don't understand. Peter, in fact, says of Paul later in in 2 Peter 2, he says, of some things are hard to be understood. So Peter didn't even understand what Paul was saying. Okay. But it's sometimes some things are difficult to understand, and that's when we take in and we study. We take the context. We take where it's going. Who was it written to? What all of the hermeneutics things that we ought to apply. Methodical Bible study. And you take into consideration. But the Bible stands today, and it's true, and it's real, and we have all that we need today. I'm so thankful for that, and I pray that you are as well. Amen. Okay, I'll stop there. Lord, we do thank you for time today. We can gather around the Word of God. Just an emphasis again that, Lord, the Bible stands, and we're so thankful. And it stands, Lord. We're so grateful that we have a Word that we, Lord, don't have to guess at, don't have to wonder at, aren't scared and worried that maybe we don't have all that we need, and that we'll get one day stand before you and not know everything that we were supposed to do. But yet, Lord, we know today we have all that we need. We thank you for that. We praise you for the Word of God. Help us to follow the Bible in these, especially the time we have right now in our church, as we're trying to make some decisions and trying to figure out what to do next. Lord, as we ask and pray that you would lead us, strengthen us, and help us in all of that, we know you will, and we thank you for it. Thank you for the people you've given us here, and Lord, the people even around us that are seeking to try and help us accomplish your will. We ask that you'd guide us now. Thank you again. In Jesus' name we do pray, and amen.